everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, and let's talk about what's been going on. All right, episode 64. Look, we've been doing this so long that I actually burnt out. I used a whole lighter. When does that? I know, and it's my flexible one. Don't send me any more of those termites. I have some. But in the meantime, I have this one. It's not as much fun, though. It's a little more...
It's like a wand.
You got to squeeze really hard. Fire! Fire!
So hard.
Fire! Oh, termites, what are we drinking? A little fun. How fun is this beer from Sheboygan, Wisconsin? Vacation land. And then it's got little pictures of people skiing, a little lighthouse. I'm a sucker for the can. Yeah, Door County Brewing. Juicy IPA. And it is a juicy IPA. Colton Wong, right front and center. Jimmy Carter and Roslyn were at the Braves game the other night. How cute is that?
So
I know. What a wonderful human being. Although I heard one time that Ted Kennedy went to the White House when Jimmy Carter was president. And it was supposed to be like a Friday night cocktail party. But Jimmy is a strict Southern Baptist and doesn't really drink the drink. And it was a dry meeting, and Jimmy gave a lecture on the Middle East. And Ted said he was ready to blow his brains out. And I totally, you know, I'm not saying everything Ted Kennedy did was right. I think we all know the stories. But, you know, I sympathize with him on that evening. You think you're going to a Friday night cocktail party. Bam, it's a dry lecture. That's before bottled water, too. You had to just sit there with nothing. Your gum, if you were lucky enough to, get some gum in there.
Mixed nuts.
Oh, termites! That's what we're drinking. Little vacation land. What are we gonna try? What are we gonna try here, termites? Well, some interesting things. Look at this, doing the work of the Lord. Krispy Kreme bites, original glaze.
Oh wow!
Well, and then I thought, do you heat them up? But there's nothing about heating them up on here. So, here's the sad news. No high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, come on.
Well, then it can't be in my top favorite foods. No artificial colors or flavors. Well, then why even exist?
It's not pop.
Right? Bring a little happiness everywhere you go. Let's try one. Well, there goes. That was the bad lighter. It doesn't matter. So they come in this little package. There's three little balls in here. But see, you got to get them when they're hot. I don't like any Krispy Kreme donuts except the hot glaze. When the hot light's on, boom, my car turns around. These look like, it tastes wet. I don't
wet?
Like them.
Tastes wet.
Yeah. No.
Your mom will like them.
I don't, my mom will eat anything sweet. Yeah, I gotta vote. No.
Huh.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Wet dough. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Throw a little IPA on that.
Let's move on. Yeah. Wow, it even made the beer taste weird. Let's move on to this.
Okay.
Cheetos Flavor Shots Flamin' Hot Asteroids. I just wanted to see what they look like. They're tiny little red balls. Ready?
Yeah.
Mm. No.
No.
No. Why fuck up a Cheeto? Why do you do this? Why do these people spend all this money investigating? You have test groups and all this shit. You can't top a Cheeto. Don't ever follow yourself if you're funny. Everybody knows that. They're okay. I mean, they don't taste like anything, though. It just tastes like chemicals, which I'm not against. But they don't taste like good chemicals. All right. This is available at every grocery store. Taco Bell creamy chipotle sauce.
Delicious.
I don't know. I'm not a big chipotle person. We'll see. I'll give it a whirl.
You've gotten 1,000
today. And well, so far, 2 out of 2 suck. No. 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 No.
Today's bad.
That's not even for dipping. No.
What do they put it on?
It looks to me like they put it in their quesadillas,
oh,
which is why I wouldn't get one.
Those are good.
Ugh.
Oh,
Gross. That would dominate. Ugh. No. Sorry.
One thing you hate at Taco Bell.
It is the only thing I hate at Taco Bell. I like everything else. They do a wonderful job. It's not their fault. Don't blame the employees. All right. Well, that was a hit and a miss. Okay. We're moving on. The Queens, I have no news. Well, Cher is always rapid fire tweeting. Stevie, nothing. Tanya, I think she's just recovering until January. They all get back out there, I think. A lot of the old timers just wrapped it up for the year.
It's November.
They just went, well, you know, there's COVID out there and it's hard. And it's winter, and Tanya's been on the road since she was 13. Let's give her a break, shall we? Huh? And Shaka, Dolly, nothing. Quiet on the Western Front. So I got nothing better. But you know what I do have? Update! Fuck it! This is sad times. So far, this is a sad show. Not for lack of trying. I thought you could heat these Krispy Kreme bites up. I'm disappointed. Well, fuck if I know, but I mean, it doesn't come in the right packaging for that.
Take it out of the packaging.
They would just melt. Twenty holes, five pouches.
We'll do a video. We'll try it. We'll melt some.
Yeah, I will. Watch that bread get all gross. Oh, my God. Update. I told you all.
That was terrible.
I already did my update.
Try it again.
Update.
Yeah.
Somebody's cat just jumped off the couch. Somebody on Twitter told me that. ABBA. You know I love ABBA. And we've talked about this, termites, about how they're going to have, they built that whole facility, venue for their show, which they won't be at. It'll be those electronic people.
And you're going to go with them.
What are they called? Not electronic people.
Avatar.
Avatars. Mm-hmm. Well.
And it's an avatar.
It's an avatar. Oh, Paddles.
Thanks.
Paddles loves wordplay. Gone. ABBA, the fabled... Fabled. They're not fabled. They're real. International Swedish pop stars are coming with their first new album since 1982. Oh, yo, 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 yoing. How long ago? I can't do that math. On November 5th, the world will hear Voyage, the opening salvo in their mega return. But aside from the two men in ABBA, does anyone care? Even the two women in the group are half-heartedly participating. They're not even doing promotion. That's because, you know what? They're in their 70s and said, look, I'll do an album, but I'm not doing press.
Right.
I get it. It gets tiring. It, not tiring, but you just, you know, I still like doing it because most of the radio people are fun and print people are always smart and it's fine. But you spend a shitload more time doing that than you do. Lewis and I always joke, we spend more time talking about ourselves and being ourselves, which is wonderful if you're a narcissist. But if you're not a narcissist, you're like, I'm sick of talking about me today.
Sure.
Let's talk about, I always like to throw it back at reporters. So how's the weather where you're at? And then I just keep bombing them with questions. just so we don't have to talk about me. But I could see the two ladies are in their 70s going, you know what, I'll do the music part, but I don't want to do press. All right, no problem. The public seems less than interested. I don't think press would help that, just for the record.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, so what? Okay, you get to see an interview with, I don't even know their names. They're very Swedish names, these ladies. Frida. One's Frida. I know that.
Frida.
But I mean, the press isn't going to, that's not going to be the make it or break it thing,
no.
You know? The public seems less interested, especially in ABBA's new music. As with all legacy acts from the 70s, 80s, even 90s, their fans just want to hear the hits. Right. Their brains aren't wired to accept new music. Bullshit. That's bullshit. I accept new music from old people if it's good.
Right.
I've never heard a shitty Cher album.
No.
Now, Stevie's had some misses. I love the... Who is calling from Vermont? Burlington, Vermont. Do you think it's Bernie Sanders?
It's Ben and Jerry.
Ben and Jerry? Who else do I know from Vermont? Nobody. I don't even know those three people. Vermont. I'm not answering that.
Okay.
Sorry. It's a domestic line.
Because you're busy.
Well, I'm busy, but I thought maybe the termites might want to know who fucking calls from Vermont. I don't know anyone there. I don't know one person, not even a comedian. I don't know one comedian from Vermont. Not one. I know one from Maine, Bob Marley, and Kelly McFarland. But I was thinking Kelly is Boston. Yeah. But
maybe she's up there.
What?
Maybe she's up there.
Maybe she's in Vermont.
Wants to know what kind of ice cream to bring you.
I've done gigs there. It's an awesome little state. I have in Vermont, and I want to take that train. Ron just took the train to go see all the leaves and stuff in the East Coast. I notice the older we all get, it's like we've all gone down this list, and we've all go, well, fuck, I never saw the leaves in the Northeast. Like, we all just go, I got to do that, right? But I don't know, when you're younger, you just don't. But he took a train through the whole deal, and I want to do it. The problem is Ron won't know how we did it. I'll go, hey, dude, what was the name of that train? I don't know, Maddie. Well, where'd it go? From somewhere to somewhere. Was it awesome? It was. You should call Anthony. That's the guy who does this stuff. Anyway, sorry about that distraction. They're saying our brains aren't wired to accept new music, and I call bullshit on that. Because if it's somebody old, Sting never disappoints. Like, there's people.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
Dolly never disappoints.
Just a Christmas movie.
That Christmas movie. I feel she got pressured. I think Netflix.
Nobody pressured.
Yeah, I think Netflix was like, I don't think Dolly's a movie person per se, meaning, you know, production and all that crap. And I think Netflix was like, here, we're going to dress you like a hobo. And she went, okay. And it looked ridiculous. Like, it just, you know, whatever. I just don't agree with that statement. I will accept new music from anyone. Yeah, it's not like, I can only listen to Mamma Mia, or I don't want to fucking hear it. That's not true. I love the people from ABBA. Sing all you want. I'll listen to all of it. So ABBA has released 3 failed singles since September 2nd. All duds, not only sale-wise, but on the radio and critically. They are bad records. Says who? Who wrote this article? Roger Friedman. What do you know, Roger?
Hey, Raj.
I'm going to go listen to all 3 now. And the public has responded in kind. Here are the sales figures according to Buzz Angle Alpha Data. And then there's all the sales figures, yeah. The numbers don't bode well for Voyage, even though the album is currently listed as number 7 on Amazon based in advance sales. But Voyage could have been 1 or 2 big days sales based on those sales. And then peter out quickly if there aren't tracks getting attention. So far, the radio has ignored ABBA songs, and with good reason. They're not nearly as charismatic as ABBA's fabled hits. Why does he keep saying fabled? They're not fabled. It was fucking real. Cussing too much. I don't know why today.
I know why.
I don't know. Which have been featured in 2 movie musicals, a Broadway musical, one of the only other musicals I've ever seen in my life, and I went alone.
It was good.
It was great.
Really good.
And I made Lewis get me a good ticket because he knows those people on Broadway.
Why?
And then he made fun.
Because
I was in New York by myself doing a show, and I was like, I don't know. I called all my New York friends. Everybody laughed at me and hung up. No one wanted to go. And,
wow.
Yeah, Lewis was supposed to go because he's a sport. He'd go with me. I have to go sit through some of his hard stuff. But then I don't know, he had work or something.
He took Macy to the Cher
musical. Yeah, he took Paddles to see the Cher musical.
So good.
You see, he's a sport. He went with me to go see... the one of Mike Birbiglia's. He's a sport. He didn't know what it was about. I said, just come with me and shut up. Maybe a live, okay. It's also quite possible this whole ABBA revival is going to be the Titanic of comebacks. What the fans wanted is a tour with the original 4 members singing Dancing Queen. Maybe a live album would have followed. No. So far, a new album of original. I'm not buying ABBA songs again. I've already bought them 10 times. I'm not doing it. They already have live versions of it, I think. And the fake ABBA non-hologram thing, whatever it is, well, we'll see if that sells tickets. They may get away with it in Europe, but in the U.S., it's doubtful.
Oh, come on. I would so know
that. Isn't Roger a naysayer? We'll see.
That's a nice word for it.
He could be right. I mean, I don't know Roger, but, you know, if that thing doesn't do well, though, that's a shit ton of money. Better think is what else are we going to put in that venue? There's some promoter chomping at the bit. I can't wait till it fails. I can't wait till it fails. I can't wait. Update! Oh my God. This is juicy. Okay, so how many of you went and watched The Way Down? I told you to watch it on HBO Max. Even Lewis watched it because I'm like, Lewis tires of the religious fanaticism so quickly that he just gets angry and turns it off. But I'm like, no, but Lou, this one's about dieting. And he's lost weight just over time, just probably from the pandemic. He didn't drink as much. And he said, well, he's clearly getting closer to the Lord because he's lost some weight. And I'm like, well, I don't know about that, Lou. But this is breaking. Gwen Shamblin, that's the lady with the crazy hair, who I cannot believe in the whole three episodes I saw, nobody mentioned that that lady was teetering, if not full-blown anorexic.
Right.
Like.
And her daughter. God.
And the daughter, I know. They all kind of remind me of, who's the lady in the Hallmark movies? I call her Candace Creme Brulee.
Candace Cameron Bure.
Because her brother is Kirk Cameron, the person who thinks the end of the world, like he's a Jesus person that says, like, left behind. Like, it's going to happen in our lifetime. Yeah. She's in, I think she's on, whatever. Jen Shamblin's will, her will, potentially worth millions, leaves nothing to her remnant fellowship church.
No way.
Hold on. Yep. Was her ministry about God or about Gwen? She died in a plane crash back in May. That crash also killed her husband and five leaders of her Brentwood church, the Remnant Fellowship. I just point out for people who don't know anything about Nashville either. Brentwood is a fancy area. Yeah. It's well-educated. It's rich. It's pricey. This lady was not scamming hillbillies. No. In, you know, hoopy-donk, po-donk, hoop-de-dump. All of this is hoop-de-donk. I don't know what I just said. Usually I don't film these later in the day. I usually do it in the morning after coffee. So I'm a little, not loopy, just, you know, there's a lot that's happened today. I had to pack. It always scrambles my brain to do that. I'm like, Florida, then I'll be in, Canada. It's a lot of clothes. Anyway. But an exclusive News Channel 5 investigation discovered that Shamblin's last will and testament involving an estate potentially worth millions of dollars. It's not potentially. It's worth millions. I've seen the actual church in person. Located where it's at, the acreage, come on. Is reviving old questions about her ministry and her money. It suggests to me, perhaps I'm cynical, it suggests to me that the accumulation was not for God, it was for Gwen, said veteran Nashville lawyer Gary Blackburn, who sued Shamblin over allegations that her company fired people who would not join her church. News Channel 5's investigations first raised questions about Gwen Shamblin 20 years ago, but the rest of the country's getting to know her through a new HBO Max series, The Way Down, God, Greed, and the Cult of Gwen Shamblin. Yeah, 20 years ago, Channel 5, which is NBC and Nashville, apparently, was pointing a little arrow at that place going, hey man, something doesn't seem right. But guess who cared about the local news?
Nobody.
Shamblin left behind a legacy stemming from her days as the founder of Way Down Workshop of false claims about her own wealth. This money, this is what she told Larry King. How did I never see her on Larry King? I watched every episode of Larry King ever. At least I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. Maybe not when I was working. Which is every night except Monday and Tuesday. This money, half of it goes to the government and the other half to keeps it going so that someone else can be helped, she told Larry King back in 1998. In 2001, Channel 5 pressed her on that claim. Half and half leaves nothing for Gwen Shamblin. That's not completely true, is it? Yes, she insisted, it's completely true. Yet Blackburn has succeeded in getting Shamblin to admit under oath that the money was going to her and her husband, David. That's her first husband, not Tarzan, the guy who played Tarzan, the cheesy actor guy, that's the second husband. I hate to say this to some degree because she's deceased, the natural lawyer continued, but she struck me as 100% phony, as a grifter, a huckster. What about a fraudster? My favorite word. Yet it was a story that her Elizabeth that her daughter Elizabeth has continued to perpetuate as recently as 4 years ago. She practically handed mine and Michael's inheritance away, Elizabeth Shamblin Hannah told an audience in 2017. Me and Lou both said, though, they better figure out plan B to carry on the church, because Elizabeth don't have it. Whatever you got to have to lead it, she ain't got it. Mama had it, but maybe this. Oh, well, the son's always kind of on the out, so it ain't going to be the son. They need to find, maybe Elizabeth can have a baby and hurry up and raise it. I could have done this at 15. Sure, I go out there. I'll tell, what do you want me to say? No problem. As News Channel 5 obtained Shamblin's will, a will that leaves everything. She left everything to her adult children. So this girl's lying, first of all.
Yeah.
She didn't hand anything away. She gave you everything. And the will, which was signed in 2011, originally left everything to David Shamblin with Elizabeth and Michael listed as successors. But the couple divorced in 2018. Tennessee law provides that the ex-husband was no longer eligible to be the beneficiary of the will. Right. Totally makes sense. So how much of the money was left to the Remnant Fellowship Church, we asked the lawyer. I've looked at the will a couple times and I haven't seen any. None. Now, here's the Remnant Fellowship statement. In regards to Gwen's estate, Gwen, Michael, they've decided almost 2 decades ago to give approximately $10 million of what would have been Michael and Elizabeth's inheritance to the building and grounds of Remnant Fellowship Church. Gwen also donated the Way Down Ministries and its proceeds, as well as her intellectual properties over to the church. This was an incredible gift of generosity from Gwen and her family's inheritance, as the church would expect no more. It's not clear why the church needed to sign a mortgage for $2,341,000 in July of 2014. At the time of her death, Shamblin was one-third of the way through a 9-week video series on greed. Oh! Irony. A series in which she urged Remnant followers to prepare to give up all their wealth. It was never intended to be accumulated, but rather to be used one small tool to build up the kingdom of God. If you cling to the money, you're going to lose it. But if you give it up, you'll find it again. Ironically, in 2018, less than 2 months before Shamblin married Tarzan actor Joe Lara in an elaborate Remnant Fellowship wedding, she entered into a divorce agreement with her first husband. She suddenly agreed to that settlement after David Shamblin's attorneys filed a subpoena to require Remnant Fellowship to reveal all payments and fringe benefits provided to her and Joe Lara, as well as any non-disclosure agreements that the church has signed with current or former members. So she all of a sudden gives David what he wants, the soon-to-be ex-husband, because he says, well, if you're not going to play my game, then you need to open the books.
Right.
And then she went, okay, honey, whatever you want. The divorce settlement filed in court details how the couple would split 18 pieces of property.
Wow.
They're now valued at over more than $20 million. She'd agreed to pay David $3 million out of her own pocket. To accumulate that much money means 2 things, Blackburn, the lawyer said. One is you have tremendous cash flow, and secondly, you're not contributing a whole lot of it to mission work or other work of the church.
Right.
Among the properties that the woman of God got to keep in the divorce, our investigation discovered, Channel 5's, was an elegant beach house in Destin, Florida. A house that a real estate listing described as, quote, Gulf Front living at its finest. I do love me some Destin. I do love me the panhandle.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look into one of these. How much did it cost?
$7 billion.
Yeah, I don't think I would have that for a second home. Located right in the Gulf of Mexico, Shamblin's beach home with its 4 bedrooms, 5 baths was located in a gated community known as Destiny by the Sea.
Ooh.
Oh.
Fabulous.
Well, in 2010, it was $2 million. It's now valued at $4 million. An old real estate listing for the house boasted of its master bedroom with a Gulf view, with his and hers master bathrooms, and a lavish library. I did see it's in one of her videos. She does a video from the porch. It's totally cheesy. They included in that video is a discussion of Joe Lara's love of scuba diving. This guy was the ultimate cheese whiz. Back in Brentwood, the divorce settlement shows Shamblin also got to keep the couple's pre-Civil War plantation home known as Ash Lawn. Yes, I love it when people name their home. This is named the House of Madness.
Nice.
House Madness. The current property value of that property, $7 million.
No way.
Yep. This is what Shamlin told us in 2001 about our luxurious home and fancy cars. If it was needed, I would sell that car. I would sell that house. You didn't fucking need it to begin with.
No.
How about you get on my Mercury Mariner bandwagon? Gwen, want to downsize? Mine's not for sale. 2007, runs like a charm. Not selling it. And then Channel 5 said, but you haven't sold the house or the car. It's not needed yet, Phil. That's what she said. We pressed. There's nobody who could use this money? She said, no. I'm talking about this ministry, and it may happen. Believe me, that house is God's. You're just living in it. She began right after her remarriage, she began transferring her real estate holding, not into Remnant's name, but into the names of various trusts, effectively shielding the real identity of the owners. The beach home is listed at Sutton Something Ocean Trust. Ashlawn is owned by Franklin Trust. So she's hiding it all.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Oh, they have a lake property on Center Hill Lake. I know where that's at. That's out about 2 hours from Nashville. Beautiful lake. That's owned by the Farm Trust. In her video about greed, she said, most of the world has abandoned true religion and are now converts to building up their own pocketbooks. Well, just replace the word pocketbooks with trust.
Right.
Yeah, that's you, lady. She's also very, very set on building up her hair, as high as hair can go, without falling over. Yet God is a God of justice, and he will not be mocked. Less than 4 weeks later, she would die in a plane crash. As a result, we may never get certain answers about much wealth. She's really accumulated about why her will fails to even mention her beloved Remnant Fellowship.
It's your karmagram.
It's my karmagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that God's house to her is double wide.
Well.
Yeah, she's not living in that.
I mean, can we just say everything is God's house? I mean, if you want to say it like that. So there you go. There's a little, because there's two more episodes of that show coming, but not till 2022.
Can't wait.
Update!
Boom. Do it.
You're not going to want me to.
No.
Stop battles. At the Elizabeth Holmes trial, prosecutors are using her own words against her. This is great, though. They plan to play audio tapes for their jury of phone calls Holmes made with investors. Holmes is charged. We know what she's charged with. It doesn't matter. Legal analyst and former San Francisco deputy district attorney Michelle Hagan said the tapes will be damaging against the defense. The more damage the defense suffers, this is key, at Holmes' lengthy federal fraud trial, the more pressure Holmes will feel to testify in her own defense. Holmes has the choice of taking the witness stand after the prosecution rests its case. Her decision would be the biggest gamble of her life. Well, here's what I would tell her if I was her attorney. Here's the thing, Liz. You can get on the witness stand if that's what you want to do, but we got to stop with the fake voice.
Yeah.
Because normal people out of the gate are going to go, this lady's crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The minute she spoke, I was like, what? Stop it. Hi,
nope.
It's me, Kathleen. Do I seem more powerful? Do I seem taller and more in command? What if I had on a turtleneck? And then, yeah, you know, then I just look like a tiny round head.
Yeah.
I don't have the neck for it. I don't have a neck. That's a problem. We know what this up. Can she win over a jury? Holmes' attorneys are defending her as a hardworking, young, and naive CEO who underestimated business obstacles. Oh, bullshit.
Yeah.
Holmes dropped out of Stanford and founded. We know all that. Prosecutors have a list of nearly 200 witnesses, and the trial is expected to last through January. Aren't you happy about that, Paddles?
Yeah.
January. For the first 2 months of the trial, they have testified that Holmes was calling the shots and was fully aware of what's going on.
Yes.
Two whistleblowers, ex-Theranos lab director Adam so-and-so, testified that Holmes' invention, which she proclaimed would revolutionize blood testing, was a flop. Holmes told investors and business partners that she had invented a box. We know what she said she could do. Senior scientist Sirica? I can't say his last name. Or her last name. No, it's a her. Testified that she met with Holmes directly on a regular basis, telling her about failures unraveling in the lab. Despite the lab's problems, Holmes pushed forward, opening wellness centers and Walgreens stores, accepting patients, and wooing more wealthy investors to throw millions of dollars into her company. This is crazy. Another witness called former Theranos finance manager Sohan Spivey tested that Theranos was hemorrhaging money. It had net losses. Get a load of this. $11 million in 2009, $16 million in 2010, $27 million in 2011. The company went for years without having its financial statements audited, Spivey testified. This helped establish a motive for why Holmes would need to defraud investors. Yeah,
right.
You're out of money. You better go trick some other old fart into giving you money. George Shultz, he was like 150. I really couldn't believe he was still alive when they said that. Of those investors, one of those investors, this is awesome, recorded a conference call Holmes made with several of Theranos' investors in 2013. Prosecutors submitted a recording of the call into evidence, and they plan to play it for the jury. Oh. On the call, she says the company's worth more than $7 billion. She said that in 2013. Billion. They had already lost I can't do that math.
That's a small country's debt.
They had already lost $27 million, $11 million, $16 million, whatever that adds up to. She gives a glowing financial outlook for her company's potential under her plans to open wellness centers in Walgreens and Safeway pharmacies nationwide. Oh, my God. We're working to expand that as fast as possible. The speed with which we expand is critical in the context of capturing market opportunity that we created, and we are putting a lot of resources into establishing a national footprint as fast as we can. The recorded call could help strengthen prosecution's opening statement that she was a con artist who faked her way to the top to achieve wealth and fame. The case is about fraud, about lying and cheating to get money.
The
yep.
Opening statement seems
Thank God
you.
One person recorded it. It wouldn't have been this lady because I don't know how to. Her alleged scheme, blah, blah, blah. So. Oh, she also claimed in that call that the blood tests are highly accurate when she knew good goddamn well they weren't. Everybody told her they weren't. There's a little update. I won't bore you with more of it. You should go listen to that podcast if you want to about Elizabeth Holmes if you're into it. I'm just giving you, you know.
Till January?
Well, that's because they caught the one doing puzzles and they had to kick her out. All right. That's all my updates. But this is happening. JFK Jr. is trending. And so on Twitter.
JFK Jr.
JFK Jr.
I love him.
And here's why.
Okay.
This, I wish this was live now so you termites could go with me and go on look online what's actually truly happening. Okay. There are hundreds, and I'm going to say we're going to get to the thousands mark of people. At Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, also right where Kennedy came around the grassy knoll part, they're Q people.
Oh, no.
Yep. And they are convinced that JFK Jr. is coming back there tonight.
What?
Now, one lady they interviewed, they think... I'm not kidding. It looks like it's lined the day Kennedy was shot. I mean, it's not as deep, but the line. I'm going to tell you what they think is happening.
Okay.
Okay.
Can't wait. Way better. Than
this is why we have a mental health crisis in this country. This is why mental health help should be accessible and cheap for people who need it, so that these kind of people can get the help they need. Hundreds of QAnon fans are going to Texas to see JFK return. Seriously. And there's videos all over Twitter. This is not bullshit. They're currently traveling from all across the United States where they expect to see John F. Kennedy suddenly reappear on Tuesday night. It's Tuesday right now. And ordain former President Trump as the King of Kings. Now, as a Catholic, we don't read the Bible, but I think I've heard that from the Bible, right? King of Kings, isn't that something in the Bible?
Yeah, it's a Christmas song.
Well, Jesus was a King of Kings.
It's a Christmas song, too.
It's a Christmas song?
Yeah. I don't know the words.
Does Sarah McLachlan sing it? If not, I'm not interested.
Maybe.
I like Dolly's Christmas album and Sarah McLachlan.
Wow.
And of course, Johnny Mathis, in honor of my parents. Some QAnon followers were so eager to secure their place for the return. On Monday night, hundreds of them gathered in Dealey Plaza, where Kennedy was shot in 1963, waiting for the latest QAnon conspiracy to come true. I mean, I don't understand why there's not a whole channel on this tonight. I got to find out how to watch it online. At what point will they leave? I mean, midnight? Does that mean it's Wednesday? They'll stay till sunup?
I'm sure they will. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a Q person.
Is that what? Okay. QAnon, they're promoting several very different versions of the conspiracy theory of what will supposedly happen Tuesday night.
They can't even agree on it.
No, they can't even agree. But wait. So according to Whiplash347, an account with almost 250,000 followers, Trump will be reinstated as the 18th president of the United States. 18th. Did you catch that? 18th. We're way beyond that. But that's because they believe that everything since 1871, the date the sovereign citizen movement claims the U.S. became a corporation, is illegal. That's what they think. Whiplash 347 continues that Trump will then step down. John F. Kennedy Jr., who those of us in touch with reality know is dead. I'll never forget when he died either, too. I was working at the Tropicana at a comedy club in Las Vegas. So it was like, you know, I'm 2 hours behind Central Time. And my sister calls, and it was probably 7 a.m. in Vegas. And I had 2 shows, and I'm sure I went out. I was sound asleep. She goes, "Wake up! John F. Kennedy Jr. is missing." I said, "Well, I'm at the Tropicana, and I don't have a car. So do you want me to help? What the fuck am I supposed to do? Turn on CNN!" I said, "If he's missing now, he'll be missing at 10 when I was planning on getting up." Click. But then my brain turned on. I'm like, "Wait, what?" So Trump will step down. John F. Kennedy Jr., who died in a plane crash, but not according to them, in 1999, well, maybe he did die, he's going to come back to life, will become president, like he would if it wasn't for Killary, plotting to kill him.
Oh, my God, come on.
Oh, wow. She killed him. Oh.
Okay, wait,
hold on. You got to just go with me on this.
I'm trying.
Joining JFK Jr. as vice president will be disgraced former national security advisor Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn's out busy on a speaking tour making sure she still has the money.
Michael Flynn.
At this point, Trump will ascend to become one of the seven new kings, most likely the King of Kings, which I think is... That was what they called Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't ask me about it.
Yeah,
just
he's
said,
the King of Kings.
You know, when you go in church and there's the INRI above the cross, above Jesus' head. This is how seriously my parents took religion. I mean, we had to go to church in Catholic school every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then we had to go on Sunday. So, whatever. But I was like, what does that mean, INRI? And my dad goes, it means I never reached Ireland. That's why he was so sad. And I believed that till I was like 15. And then I was like, well, it could mean Italy. Could mean India.
Who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Lord of Lords. I like that better. Lord Michael Flatley, King of the Dance.
Oh, it's Jesus. Several times in the Bible.
Yeah, several times.
Notably.
Well, that won't matter because I haven't read it once.
Wow.
All right. Hold on. Now, here's the second theory. I told you theory one. Here's theory two. Michael Brian Protzman, who runs Negative 48 Channel, has over 100,000 subscribers. Well, so what? So do I. I mean, whoopty shit. He sees things slightly differently. He has claimed that the Kennedy bloodline is directly linked to Christ. He told his followers on Tuesday that JFK Sr., Jackie, and JFK Jr. will be reintroduced to the world. Then... the JFK Sr. will travel around for 7 days, then will pass. Before he dies, JFK Sr. will transfer power to Donald Trump, and JFK Jr. will be Trump's vice president.
Oh my God.
This is why they should close the goddamn internet.
Why did they pick the Kennedys?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, they're liberal. Why would you think they'd want anything to do with Trump?
I know.
They didn't even pick a dead conservative.
Nope.
This is the problem with the internet.
This is the problem?
Well, there's a
problem.
Okay. But, you know, I did buy some stuff on it yesterday. Another part of the conspiracy claims that JFK's return will coincide with the reversion to the Julian calendar, which means the date will change immediately back to October 20th. Okay, I'm up for that. I like that one. That's a good part of this. Okay. Let's go backwards in time. Why not? As ludicrous and outrageous as all these claims, it's a clear indication of the hold that QAnon's conspiracy movement has over its followers, that hundreds of them gathered. Hundreds of them. And it's gaining speed. I'm going to read you something else on Twitter. Because this is just... It would be one thing if this was just shit online. But it's actually manifesting into actual action. That's why when people say, well, words don't really do anything. Oh, yeah. There's enough crazy people that are receptive to actually get in their goddamn car... Drive down there. A live video was posted on Monday by Patriot Dave. Oh, God. A QAnon supporter from Missouri. Oh, Dave. We got enough going on. JFK has been a key part of the QAnon conspiracy for some time. It began in 2000. Here's how. Here's why. It began in June 2018 when someone claiming to be him posted a message on 8chan, that board. We know about 8chan. We've talked about that. Yeah. We learned about that on here as I dumb things down because termites have jobs and children and pets and busy, and I have the time. And suggested he was the person behind the movement. Last week in Vegas, two people who QAnon followers are claimed have claimed are JFK Jr. in disguise appeared on stage during the Patriot Double Down, a major QAnon-focused conference. So now they're seeing people. One lady said that's there today, she's already seen Dale Earnhardt. What? I swear to God. The race car man with the mustache, yes.
The race car man. Oh, my God.
I don't follow NASCAR.
We're gonna have to go to a bar.
But I know who Dale Earnhardt is, and I know who Dale Earnhardt Jr. is. And she also claims she saw Robin Williams. And I can also tell you, Robin Williams was not a conservative. Robin Williams is not going to attend your QAnon thing. Nothing they say makes any coherent sense. This is why I don't know if they should help these people. They've split from reality. They've had a complete split. And they used to, like when we talked about the movies with the people with the multiple personalities, that's a split. You split from your reality because it's so awful. Then I would say to these people, what is so awful or has happened in your life that you're okay with splitting from reality? Just saying. Something.
Segregation went away.
This is another one.
Wow.
Nope, yep.
Okay,
the QAnon conspiracy theory originating from anonymous user posts on right-wing message boards, it states that America is secretly being controlled by a cabal of Satan-worshipping cannibal child traffickers, and that Trump has been working to expose and arrest, I've heard that one, and expose the ringleaders. They think Hillary Clinton is one of them, like she eats babies or something. It's spawned, the QAnon has spawned, here we go, spawned extensive merchandising. Some of these people, I have seen it, real videos. They have Trump Kennedy t-shirts on. Well, that's what I put on Twitter. If all these people are down there that gullible, why am I not down there selling merch? That's on me.
I'm looking for a live feed.
I didn't know it was today. If I knew 3 weeks from now, I'd get some t-shirts and I'd call one of my comedian buddies in Texas and say, hey man, I'll give you 50% if you go down and sell this shit to these yahoos.
Take video.
Oh my god. But this is what I'm gonna read you, because this is like, wow, this was part of the,
crazy.
It's been trending all day. This is what Whiplash, the one who's kind of in charge, this is what they think is gonna happen. Trump reinstated as the 19th president, he will call up a new vice president, JFK Jr., as everything from 1871 was illegal or unconstitutional. Justice Thomas, only Supreme Court justice remaining. Missouri's finest. Trump will step down. John Jr. will become the president, like he would have if it wasn't for Hillary plotting to kill him. Then we call up Mike Flynn, right? I'm on board. Trump will become one of the new seven of kings, most likely the king of kings. But hold for it. Seven trumpets, seven presidential messages to all phones on earth. What about androids? Will I get one?
No,
probably not.
You should go to spam. That's why
he
just called you. Yeah, they're in Vermont.
It's iPhones only. I'll have to ask you. Hey, did we get a message from the king of kings? Fuck, I didn't get one. Why not? And then seven kingdoms. So 777. I don't know what any of that means. I don't have a relationship. Clearly, they're pulling stuff from the Bible and twisting it and turning it. I'm sure trumpets are in the Bible, right? Like
angels have them, I think.
Angels have, cherubs have them a lot. Yeah. Mm. That's because they didn't have electric guitars.
Oh my God. This is crazy.
This is great, though. No. Seven presidential messages to all phones on earth. Now, if you go on Twitter right now, and I know this won't be live, but I'm just going to let you know that it's still trending. What happens if they, JFK Jr., let's see. What happens if he doesn't come? I know exactly what happens.
They just go back to
their message board and look for another. They go back to 8chan and go, what happened, man? I was down there like for 7 hours. He'll be president because Trump will step down. But where does Trumpy go? What happens to Trumpy? Trumposaurus has to go home after all this shit?
He goes to McDonald's.
He goes to McDonald's. What about, is Melania in on it?
No,
she quit, right?
She'll go with JFK Jr.
Yeah, I repost. No shit, right? And she then, probably would like to go with JFK Jr. He's probably still hot.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And then they picked a black Supreme Court justice. Which
a black Supreme, yeah, but he's conservative, so they don't care. Yeah, he totally gets a pass.
What about all those Confederate flags?
That's all right.
He doesn't mind?
They're fine with that if he's conservative.
Wow.
I don't care.
None of this makes sense.
I'm just saying, for the next podcast, because I'm going to read, I'm going to follow up on this, because I know everybody else has things going on, and I really don't. I'm going to follow up. What is your bullshit answer? These people are physically there. They're buying merchandise. I mean, they have coolers. One lady's been down there for hours. I saw her interviewed. That's the one who said she saw Dale Earnhardt. A lot of dead celebrities are coming. A lot. Dale Earnhardt, Robin Williams.
But the B-level ones.
How dare you call Dale Earnhardt a B-level celebrity?
He is not Jimmy Johnson. He's a better race car driver. And so's your friend.
You don't know shit about NASCAR to be spouting off shit like this.
I don't know anything.
One of the greatest jokes of my friend Vic Henley, who I always talk about, who is no longer with us, he goes, I love it when NASCAR people call in to argue things on Sports Talk Radio, because they'll go, okay, let's go to the caller. Caller, you're there. Hey! They just yell out the guy's number. That's all. Goodbye. Hey! That was really loud. Okay.
Wow,
moving on.
Crazy.
I'm just going to tell you guys, though, don't worry. Mama Termon is on it. I'm going to follow up, and I want to hear every dumbass explanation of why it didn't happen.
Okay.
Maybe JFK couldn't make it back from the dead today, although it is today the day of the dead. Is that why they picked it?
I thought it was Halloween.
I thought it was November 1st. All Saints Day is November 1st, for sure. But I don't know if Day of the Dead, November 2nd? It ends today.
It was yesterday.
And it ends today. It goes from yesterday to today. Well, maybe that's why then.
Wow.
Okay.
So bizarre.
I rarely do celebrity gossip stories unless there's like something else wrong, like Britney. You know, that was like something else is wrong.
How is your friend Britney?
I haven't heard about my friend Britney in a while. I haven't checked her Instagram. I think she's fine. She's freeing herself. She's fine. Maybe the termites know more than I do. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really do celebrity gossip or anything, but I can't wait for this book to come out because, as we've discussed, who's my favorite actor in the whole world? Brian Cox.
Yeah.
From Scotland. I just think he's a wonderful actor. In fact, well, he's written a memoir.
Well,
won't be available in the United States till January, but listen to some of the shit he says. I love it. I love it when old people just rip the barriers down and go, I'm going to say whatever I want. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's called putting that rabbit in the hat. He criticizes a list of fellow actors, but he compliments some, even-handed, from Johnny Depp to Michael Caine. Yes, right now he's playing Logan Roy in Succession. We all know that. I'm watching that. He's worked with a variety of people, but here, it's an autobiography that looks back on his life, his tumultuous childhood in Scotland, to becoming a successful actor. But amid his life story, Kosky has plenty of commentary on others in the industry and doesn't pull any punches. This is so crazy. This is what he says about Johnny Depp. Personally, though I'm sure he is, he's so overblown. This is about Johnny Depp. So overrated. I mean, Edward Scissorhands. Let's face it. If you come on with hands like that and pale, scarred face makeup, you don't have to do anything. And he didn't. And subsequently, he's done even less. Wow. Cox has not worked with Depp and turned down a role in Pirates of the Caribbean. He also comments on the actor he worked with, Edward Norton. The two starred in Spike Lee's 2002 film, 25th Hour. I never saw it. He's a nice lad, but a bit of a pain in the ass because he fancies himself as a writer-director. I'm sure those people are pains in the asses.
Probably.
Just pick one. Please be it. Yeah. Thank you. As for Michael Caine, he gets a backhanded compliment from Cox. I wouldn't describe Michael as my favorite actor, but he's Michael Caine, an institution, and being an institution will always be having range.
Oh!
Oh! He also describes Steven Seagal as ludicrous in real life as he appears on the screen. Quentin Tarantino? Brian walked out of Pulp Fiction. He walked out.
And
he did have some nice things to say, though.
And probably not discreetly.
I know I saw Pulp Fiction, but I don't really remember it. I remember them beating somebody in a chair. That's all I remember. He's very kind about Alan Rickman.
Oh.
Yep. Isn't he the guy in the Harry Potter movies?
Yeah.
I only saw one of them because I had to.
Mr. Steak or something. Because
I took my nephews.
Mr. Steak.
He said he's one of the sweetest, kindest, and nicest, and most incredibly smart men I've ever met. On Morgan Freeman, who he worked with in 1966 Chain Reaction, he said, I'm pleased to say that although he was cold and pissed off and watching bedlam reign around him, Morgan Freeman remained an absolute gentleman, being the very epitome of Morgan Freeman, the Morgan Freeman you would hope to meet, the Morgan Freeman you encounter in your dreams. Wow. He also praises Scarlett Johansson. They both had roles in Match Point and Her, writing that she is divine, funny, smart, and wonderful.
Divine.
Yeah, divine.
Wow.
He said that Spike Lee is simply one of the best directors. His knowledge of cinema is second to none. What's more, I've never known a director to be so diplomatic. Nice.
Okay.
He knows some people will be upset by the book.
Yeah,
I get. But a lot of people are going to go, I don't care what he has to say. He's 75, but I'd care because I think he's smart. He knows that his comments will not go over well. He told The Big Issue, I'm expecting probably to never hear from some people again, but that's the way it goes. He asked if it was cathartic, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, just tell the truth, shoot the devil. It was cathartic, necessary. It was important for me because I've reached a certain age. I wanted to look at certain things in the light of one's experience and be as truthful as I could be. Well, good. He certainly doesn't waste your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for you. As, what does Rocky Laporte say? Go for you, Brian. Go for you, Brian. Go for you.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see what I got next. I have so many things.
I'm still stuck on the 18th president.
No, he'll be the 19th president. Pay attention, paddles. The first 18 were legitimate.
No, I'm
God damn. God. If you can't keep up, we're not going to the rally. I'm going to take your Trump. I'm going to take your Trump Kennedy t-shirt that I've procured online, and you're not going to get it.
We're going to be late.
We're going to be real goddamn late.
So
You know what? There'll still be some dipshits wandering around down there. All right, this is an interesting thought, because I believe it happens this week. I don't know when you, by the time you guys hear it, I think we'll just have done this, but it's moving the clocks. Here's the problem for Mama Termite. It involves math, and I don't really understand what he's saying, but I'm going to tell you.
What who's saying?
This author, Andreas Kluth. It's from Technologies and Idea.
Okay.
He wants to get not rid of just daylight savings time, but he wants to get rid of time zones. Now that's where I get confused.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go back to 4 o'clock at all, like back in the medieval times? Meet me when the sun's above the barn?
Right.
Type shit?
Yeah.
Here's what he says. You got to hear him out. He's clearly smarter, way smarter than I am. This is one of those weeks when sitting here in Berlin, I feel much closer to my place of birth, New York. By 1 hour, to be precise, most of the U.S. switched to daylight saving times last weekend, whereas Germany, the first country to introduce summertime about a century ago, will spring forward next Sunday. Because we didn't used to have these things. It was about farming, I think.
Yeah, it was about farming.
As a general rule, nothing that was originally proposed by Benjamin Franklin should be dismissed as self-evidently daft. Correct.
Cool.
He was a genius, like him or not. As the crafty founding father surmised, a change in the clock twice a year might nudge people to rise and go to bed earlier in the summer, thus saving candle wax. Look at him being a conservation guy.
Exactly.
But wax doesn't...
Go for you,
Ben.
Yeah.
But wax...
Pain in the ass with all those
doesn't cost that much. That probably seemed sensible at the time, right? Nonetheless, daylight savings times is an idea whose time has passed. The resetting of a clock messes up our body rhythms and creates health problems. Well, it depends on how much you drank the night before and if we're springing forward or backwards. Because if you drank... You're super happy to get that extra hour, and I think it's healthy because you got an extra hour.
Yeah.
If you drank.
If you drank.
I don't know about what happens if you don't.
If you drank.
For school children in particular, it causes a mild form of jet lag, but without the excitement of travel. But for, I feel sorry for the kids I see at the bus stop in the dark, and then people wonder why these kids snap.
Yeah.
Here's why they snap. I'd snap. It's flipping cold. I'm standing out here waiting on a bus. It's dark. I could be kidnapped. I could be hit by a car. I almost hit one. There was no light. The kids just standing like, it was. It's dangerous too. I don't know.
Those backpacks are heavy.
Those backpacks are heavy. I lifted up my nephew's and almost slipped a disc. I'm like, Jesus, well, I don't even want to know what's in there. It's not on me. It's on my sister. But I'd like to go one step further in proposing getting rid of time zones altogether. I'm hardly the first person to make this suggestion. The argument has been put forth sporadically for over about half a century. Really? I never heard of that. That's about a third of time we've had time zones, incidentally. To see how arbitrary and squiggly lines are, join me on a jaunt through history. For most of our evolution, we followed natural time. We generally rose with the sun, which stirred us with blue wavelengths of morning, then got drowsy with the redder hues of dusk before sleeping soundly exactly when we should. I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
Although, in the super hot countries, I'm all about the siesta. I think a good nap really can really make a great day.
And world peace.
Well, and all comedians are nappers. Because we have to get up early a lot of times and do all the press and all that. And then we wander around and do dumb shit. And then about, you know you got to stay up till midnight or one. So you got to get a pre-show nap time. Everybody knows don't call during nap time. And that's anywhere from 4 to 6.
Right.
Don't call any comedian during that time. Well, I don't know. The go-getters are probably up. But me and my friends, that is like a... then technology and globalization threw a spanner, I don't know what that is, into this harmony. And this is when it happened. In the mid-19th century, each town and hamlet kept its own local time based on a sundial. Okay, well, we can't do that.
No, that sounds crazy.
But railroads started carrying folks around faster than their ancestors could have imagined, and the telegraphs magically connected them across continents. People suddenly needed standardized schedules to catch a train or get a message. Right, we need a schedule. We're global.
Right.
You know, we can't just Or we all have to stop traveling and live in a town with a sundial. That's fine.
This is not going well so far.
In 1884, some countries therefore agreed on international time zones. The prime meridian was defined as running through a measuring device in the Royal Observatory in Greenwich in London. The rest of the world was divided into strips of 15 degrees longitude in width and nearly adding up to 24 zones, one for each hour of the day. Wow. I would have flunked doing that. Kathleen, I'm going to need you to divide this by longitude and latitude.
Is it lunchtime?
Yeah. You know what? I'd love to help you, but it's my nap time. Once the system was devised, politicians everywhere started messing with it. The French, being French. Oh, look at him getting a little slam. The French, being French for years, refuses to accept anything British as the standard. In the decentralized United States, timekeeping remained a free-for-all until Congress attempted to impose the Standard Time of Act of 1918. The quest is still ongoing. Countries are still switching time zones now and then. Well, we're switching it in certain states. Some states don't even play. Arizona, I think Indiana, I mean, it was in the past, where they go, oh, we don't do that. Try to get to a show one time when you don't know what fucking time it is.
Right.
Especially Arizona. Because, like, I was working in, nobody cares, but Laughlin, which is in Nevada, but the show was across the river, the Colorado River in Arizona, and then I thought it was a certain time, and they go, oh, they don't even do that, and whatever. Somebody just come get me then. I'm never a diva, but if I don't know what goddamn time it is, then I'm just going to stand here until someone goes,
what time is it? Because
I don't like to be late. Catholic school rule follower. Elsewhere, countries kept bending the meridians to suit their ideologies. In recent years, North Korea shifted its time zone by a half hour just because it could. Kim Jong got bored.
Wow.
Before moving it back again to align with South Korea when relations thawed. Idiosyncratic places like Nepal diverged by quarter-hour increments. Russia has 11 time zones. Texas has 3, I think. I think you move. Giggle that. I think Texas has, I know Texas has 2, for sure. Maybe 3, because I've driven through it and went, I changed time zone, and I'm still in the state, in the same state.
2.
Okay. Yeah. China, which should have 5, only has 1. Politics isn't the only thing that exposes the system as intrinsically silly. If you ever visit the right spot in America and stretch out your sleeping bag, you'll be in different time zones simultaneously. What will that cause, jet lag? Besides being inane, the convention is also bad for us because it messes with our biological clocks. People who live on the eastern edge of time zone get their rhythms and health thrown out of whack. Yeah, especially if you stay up for Monday Night Football. I don't know how people live on the East Coast and watch sports. I really don't.
No.
Baseball, playoffs, all that shit. It goes to like 1 in the morning if there's overtime and this and that. And they all have to get up and go to work at the same time as Midwest people or California people. I don't, yeah. The whole notion of time zones rests on a fundamental delusion. It suggests that a number, this is where I don't know what he's talking about, 7, 12, or 21 should tell us when to get up, eat lunch, or go to bed. We should be instead taking orders from the interplay of planetary rotation and rhythm, circadian rhythm. Hence, he'll fit. This is a very Germanic way of thinking. Hence the idea of transitioning to a simpler but superior system. It would combine 1 global time with 7 billion individual and biological times. Several billion individual and single global time is necessary because of the railways and telegraphs in the 19th century, blah, blah, blah. That's why pilots who'd rather not crash into multinational airspace already use something time zone. We should all use the UTC. Initially, this would be weird, even hilarious. New Yorkers would have to get used to having breakfast when the clock seems to say noon. But we'd quickly sort it out. Yeah, it got harder than I thought.
Yeah, we're not doing it.
All right, I'm done. But I'm all about why I think we could get rid of daylight savings time. Or, you know what? This is why I'm a compromiser as a Libra. Let's make it a half hour. I'm trying to meet people in the middle.
It's too confusing.
My mom always thinks I'm a half hour off.
Yeah, your mom's
she's a half hour off, just
pretty,
in general. I'd be in California. What time is it out there? It's 6:30 here. And then I'd go, that's weird. It's 4 here. Yeah, that's weird. I never did the right amount. And she just would be like, that's really weird, Kathleen. All right, here's a little something. See if you'd bite on this. I would do it. Oh, boy. 1,000 Andy Warhol sketches will be sold for 200. Hold on. Don't go no way. Okay. 1,000 Andy Warhol sketches will be sold for $250 each. The catch? 999 are forgeries. But they're so good, you can't really tell by the naked eye. This is the same company that made Little Nas's Satan shoes. They're known for coming up with cool idea. Well, you know, depending on how you view it. Let's just say news splashy ideas, shall we say. Only one is real. This is the latest artistic concept by the released by Brooklyn-based collective Mischief, but it's M-S-C-H-F. Mischief. Known for its provocative and viral creations. The particular exhibition is called the Museum of Forgeries and based on a sketch done by Andy Warhol titled Fairies. It consists of three nude fairies playing with a jump rope. And it was sold by Christie's in April of 2016 for $8,125. I'm surprised you could buy an Andy Warhol for $8,125. I mean, it's just a sketch. But still, the sketch is now approximately worth $20,000. According to the Chief Revenue Officer of Mischief. That means one lucky person will make $19,750, while the other 909 will get a pretty decent forgery. However, the real winner will be Mischief. They sell all the If they sell all the paintings, they'll bring in about $250,000 worth of revenue.
That's great.
Yeah. Despite having...
Do you find out if yours is real?
I don't know. Hold on. They hope it'll make a splash by pointing out the pretentiousness of art collectors. That's what I'm always into, too. And the arbitrary value of great works of art. Ubiquity is the darkness in which novelty and the avant-garde die their truest deaths. More than slash canvas or burn pages, democratization of access or ownership destroys any work premised on exclusivity. Wow. That's quite a sentence. That hurt my head. I mean, I guess they'll tell you. It doesn't say in the article. Yeah, I guess the person, you'll be notified. I'll just say that on behalf of Mischief. Doesn't say that in the article. You'll be notified.
Little Nas will call you.
Wouldn't that be great? How great would that be? You should go work for these people.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. If you win it, Little Nas will call you, and he'll use his Satan voice, whatever that is. I just made that up. I don't even know if he has one. All right, I'm gonna finish with this because this is flipping believable.
Hello, Paddles.
Hello. Hello, Paddles. Hello.
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 Thank you for your interest in
Ms. The super rich. I'm always fascinated with these people. And I don't even want to be one. I don't have the bandwidth to know what to do with the money. I don't want to have meetings about money. I don't care enough. But I'm fascinated with what they do with it.
Well, I won't tell your people that.
Well, I mean, I want to make a nice living. But I don't want to...
Congratulations.
I don't want people with billions of dollars, even multi-millions.
Mm-hmm.
Pfft, something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't have any kids, but you know that every niece and nephew, if I had multi-millions of dollars, they'd all think they were getting it. And then they'd become lazy little rats, lazy little bums. And they would just sit around, drink beer, waiting for me to die.
Wow. Lazy rats.
I would become Arthur. So that's the first problem.
Yeah,
take me to the park, Benjamin. One more time. All right. The super rich are forming a new exclusive club. For $180,000, a 3-year member includes investment opportunities, access to West Point generals, confidential support groups, and private getaways. Listen to the shit they are selling these people, and these people are all in on it. This is clearly new money people, because everything I'm going to tell you, old money people already know how to do. They've known how to do it for years. There's a running system. You just walk right into it. This is like, I actually know people
who would fall for this.
Ahem. Yes, I do. They fall for it on a smaller level But given the opportunity, they would totally do this. Okay. To show how exclusive you are, there's nothing like turning away a billionaire. Two members of the 3-comma club, that's what they're calling the 180,000, I don't know. The 3-comma club were among those nominated to join R360, a new invitation-only investment and networking group for people with a net worth of $100 million or more. Neither billionaire made it past the membership committee, so they're already doing the Bernie Madoff thing.
Right.
We don't take everybody, okay? Sorry. According to the group. But see, this is the bullshit thing. Someone's printing this. Neither billionaire made it past the membership committee. Says who? Says Charles Garcia, one of the group's managing partners. So you just create that story.
Right.
You just make that up.
Right.
There's nobody that... No. I doubt it. I took some grief for that, the 60-year-old entrepreneur, a consummate networker who founded Sterling Financial Investment Group in the late 90s and chaired Florida, South Florida's chapters of Wealth Network Tiger 21 for many years. One person seemed to want to leverage a group to benefit their own business activities, and the other one didn't want to integrate his family. How creepy.
Yeah.
The whole family's got to get in on your weirdness?
Nope.
Neither of those are in line with the values considered to the core group. Members with those values, which include honor, entrepreneurial grit, I have none. They'd go, on a scale of 1 to 10, Kathleen, how's your entrepreneurial grit? I'd give myself a half point. I have good ideas. I just can't implement
them. The podcast.
You have a good idea. Have a little Nas call the winner of the Andy Warhol deal.
Okay, on that as soon as we're done.
Send them that for free. And generosity of spirit. Well, I have that, but I don't need anybody to teach me how to do that. You're invited to go on a 3-year journey to gain mastery across 6 kinds of capital: financial, intellectual, spiritual. Okay, if you don't have your intellectual shit together by the time you have all this money, then you're just a walking moron who got lucky. Good for you. Spiritual, if you don't know what you're doing by the time you have all this money. Human and emotional and social. A 3-year family membership costs $180,000. There are countless formal and informal networks for wealthy individuals and families, but R360 aims to find a place among them. Tiger 21, perhaps the most widely known group, never heard of it, has nearly 1,000 members paying dues of $30,000 a year. I think there's a lot of people that just want the financial. It's all bullshit. You already know what stocks are being sold. It's all insider trading.
Tiger 21, got it.
When people get wealth of $100 million or more, their issues are far greater than for people who are wealthy but not at that level. I think poor people's issues are a lot greater. If you're sitting in a double wide and you don't have your pad payment for August, you're fucked.
What's a pad payment?
You got rent.
For the
mobile home sits on a pad.
You gotta rent the cement?
Yes, you rent your area. Jesus Christ.
What?
Oh my God.
Well, I gotta talk about that after.
I'll explain mobile home living next episode. We lived at one for a while our house was being built on top of a hill. We lived it, and it was, but I don't know why my mom and dad, like, they always called it the Fakwa, because it was like Fokuat. It was some brand, but my parents would go, "Oh, darling, tell your friends we're living in a Fakwa," and I'm like, "Oh, that's my sister. I can't talk to you right now, Kit. Did you make it?" Christ almighty. You're not gonna let me finish this story.
I'm sorry.
These people have achieved success and are looking more at how I can make an impact on things that matter to me, for myself, my family, for society. Well, are you spiritual? What church do you belong to? Walk on down there, plop a million.
Go talk to the King of Kings.
On there. Right. There are philanthropic networks such as the invite-only Synergist Global Philanthropy Circle, founded by Peggy Delaney and her late father, David Rockefeller, with more than 100 family members around the world. Like R360, Gia describes membership as a journey, a long cycle of inspiring, engaging, and connecting. philanthropist and social investor to create a better world. Dues are $25,000 a year. These independent groups are in addition to those formed by private banks and high-end wealth management firms, which pour resources into building networks designed to connect, educate, entertain, and retain their ultra-wealthy clients and their children. It's word salad.
Yeah.
It's word salad. You're really paying to get insider information.
Right.
Go buy 1,000 shares of Hoop-De-Doo because Schmoop-De-Doo's selling it. All right, thanks. But wait, there's really good details. Hold on. I don't need to read. That's all kind of boring, but there's a...
Pad payment.
Google it.
I did.
Did it come up?
Nope. I think you made that up.
No. Pad payment. Mobile home pad payment. Pad. You rent your pad.
That's a lot of stuff.
Hold on. I want to tell you what they also do.
Launch pad payment.
Launch pad payment. hold on. Okay. Here's what some of the things you can do. In July, about 30 members went on a 4-day retreat on Richard Branson's private Nectar Island. There, Cole, whomever that is, led a talk with Branson. So now you're in a tiny TED Talk that you can't leave. Fuck me. On an island, all I want to do is sit around and go swimming or snorkeling. I don't want to sit at some talk. Other speakers included Harvard professor David Sinclair, author of Lifespan, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To. Yeah, we do, David. Everybody's going to die. Stop it. And James Dottie, a Stanford University School of Medicine neurosurgeon who founded the Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education at the school. Hey, you know what? We're on a private island, and it's gorgeous. You know what I can't wait to do? I'm going to get a mimosa, and I can't wait to hear a Stanford University School of Medicine what? Buzzkill. Oh, members also play tennis with Branson. Okay, I would do that. And visited parts of the island that are home to threatened species, such as ring-tailed lemurs from Madagascar. An upcoming visit to West Point, these are the places they'll take you if you join the club, will feature generals talking about leadership.
Okay. Nobody cares.
Boring.
Thank you for your service.
With R360 members and their adult offspring.
Wow.
Yeah, like their cats. The trip also includes a chance to do an obstacle course, to go to the shooting range, and attend a football game.
Okay.
Oh, wow. This is the kicker, though. This one is like, Members who want to show heirs where their wealth came from can work with R360's full-time filmmaker. Yeah. To produce a movie-quality documentary about their life.
That's why.
Yeah. As well as have 150 to 200 pay hardcover memoir written. If you're going to be a good steward of wealth, you need to figure out how to influence generations you're never going to meet, Garcia said.
Wow. It's baby narcissist.
It is baby narcissist. What is your life purpose? And what are you going to do to change the world, Garcia said. Oh, my God.
I'm going to bring back Kennedy.
11 members attended the Women's Committee kickoff meeting where they talked about the mental health toll of COVID. Well, that's on you. I had a wonderful time. For people who didn't have to do nothing, if you're bored, that's on you.
Right.
Navigating relationships with children in divorced families and how to deal with earning more than your partner. As a woman, if you earn more than him, that's what they're implying, he might feel a little bad about it. People were bringing up that feeling of being hypersensitive to whether your spouse is feeling emasculated, see? Feeling like they don't have a say in the marriage because you have more power. She experienced this with her first husband. Members, and they also shared advice on commingling assets, recommending that couples contribute a shared amount in the amount based on a percentage of what each person owns. Sometimes, I'll be really honest, even having conversations with people on the subject matter, when you see strife in the world, people will take out a tiny violin. You say, what are my wealthy person's problems? But they do exist.
Oh, my God. You know, this is...
Why am I not doing this, though? I sit here and make fun of it, but see, I can't start it because I don't come from, you know, the Vanderbilts or the Rockefellers or some money family.
That's why people would listen to you.
No, not these rich people.
You're
They're not going to listen to Jokey the Clown. No. They're going to go, ooh, she's an entertainer.
Why don't you do it for people who have $100 in their checking account?
Yeah, I should do it for people with that. If you can prove to me you have $150 saved, we're going to have meetings. We're going to talk about how we're going to spend it. We're going to start with, do you have a DraftKings account? Do you know how to gamble? It's Monday Night Football. Who do you think's going to score? All right, termites.
How's your fantasy football team doing?
My fantasy football team is okay. I'm in the middle of the pack. Lewis has fallen all the way to the basement, and today he wouldn't even pick up the phone. I think he's in mourning. Yep.
He's sad.
Yeah, I think he's sad. Sad. Sad clown. It's fine. I don't know what's happened to the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is out there throwing like he has an arm disease. It's like his arm isn't connected right anymore. It just goes. I feel very bad for Derrick Henry. He'll be out for the rest of the season at times. And you know what? That was going to happen because why the Titans? You can't run Derrick every play and expect him not to get hurt eventually. Just saying, that's on you, Titanians. And that's it, termites. I really have nothing else, except if you haven't, you should go on Instagram or Twitter and look at the picture of the buck that was out in my /front yard, whatever you want to call it. It's amazing. It's the biggest one I've ever seen on the property.
What are you watching?
It may be the biggest one I've ever seen in my life, in real life. Yeah. I'm still watching Succession, and I'm still watching The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston and Hoop De Doo, Steve Carell. I like Reese Witherspoon and anything. Jennifer's okay. Steve's a little over the top in this one. I usually like him, but it's fun. It's entertaining. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm racing home from the road because I'm going to by the time you hear this, I'll be done with 1 week in Florida, then Arizona, and then back to Florida. And Newark. I'm going up that way. Aspen. Going there. December is
Newark.
Two shows. Parks Casino. And, you know, hoop-de-hoo, la-de-la. Hopefully the airlines will be functioning and I will get to where I need to be. But usually I'm on Delta, and usually that's fine.
Shout out to the DL.
Shout out to Delta every day of my life. Every day of my life. Sure, there's been problems here and there, but there's always going to be that. But not like what's going on with some other airlines that, you know, you don't need to mention, but I will. American, Southwest. The fuck, guys? I mean, I get it. I actually found a really good article. I didn't bring it up to explain what exactly is going on. Because every day they blame it on something else. And then people who don't travel a lot, people who don't travel a lot probably don't care. But they probably don't understand, well, what is the truth? Is it they don't want to get COVID vax? Is it you didn't hire enough people after you laid everybody off? Now you got to go. I mean, help wanted pilots? Dude, you can't.
Right.
You don't. Why don't you throw that up there on Craigslist? Hey, man, I haven't really flown a plane, but I drove a boat really fast once when I was like 12.
I'm in.
God. All right, termites, that's it. Be good, termites. Be worthy, termites. Get your turkey and get all your stuff fast because I think it's going to be weird. Like, I already got a bunch of dill for my dip. And I got sage and I got Beaumont and my mom's dressing because I think, you know, shit's getting weird out there. I don't really cook. I just make my mom's dressing. I do make dip. I'll do a dip. It's easy. All right, that's it. Night-night, termites.